Well, good morning, everybody. It's so good to have you out with us. You may have heard the axiom before. It goes something like this: under promise and over. You've heard that before? How many have ever experienced the opposite? In other words, somebody overpromised and underdelivered. Can I see your hands? Oh, yeah, I have too. Which makes what I'm about to say all the more nerve-wracking for me. Over these next 4 weeks, we are going to position ourselves for 2014, with rippling way beyond that, to be able to experience God's working in us in very new and greater ways than we ever have before. Can you see why that scares me so right now? That being the case, I would like to ask everybody for the extra effort that it'll take to be able to join with us for these next 4 weekends together. And if you've got to be gone, by all means, you know, to catch up online to be able to stay current with us for what's going to be taking place here. It was 2 years ago to this very weekend that we had put together a spiritual initiative for the purpose of helping us to be able to experience God in greater ways. We called that initiative, I Will. How many were here for the I Will initiative? Can I see your hands? Just raise them up real high. Okay, good. How many were not here for the I Will initiative? Would you just raise your hands up equally high there, everywhere? Okay, fantastic, great. And one of the reasons that I'm so glad that you're here right now was, in part, the reason that we had done I Will 2 years ago was to be able to open things up and to make sure that there was, you know, space and accommodation for you. If you're with us today in Waterford or Muskego, I mean, those campuses were no more than still just a twinkle in our eye 2 years ago. So we are very, very excited for what God's doing that way. We started out the I Will initiative by giving out a dog tag. And the dog tag had just said, I will on it. Now, what we asked people to do with that would be either to wear it or put it on a keychain, but carry it with them as a daily reminder that for that month, we would begin our day by praying this prayer: God, I will. Very simple prayer, but in it we are going to say this: today, Father, I will say yes to you, whatever it is that you would ask of me. Jesus, I will say yes to following you. And Holy Spirit, I will say yes to whatever your promptings are in my life. And that was just that, you know, daily prayer. Now, you can imagine what began to take place in our lives. Some really, really cool things. Now, what I didn't anticipate was this. When I ask everybody at the end of those 4 weeks, I told them, you need to bring back your dog tag and to give it back. That wasn't received well. In fact, if you were here, you might have been one of the people that were sending me hate mail. I mean, you're like, how could you do such a thing? Now, the whole idea that I did that with was, it was just a stewardship lesson. God gives to us things for a season, and then at the end of the season, he asks for them back. Now, what people didn't know was that we had had a new dog tag that was made up for them. We'd actually added the hearts of God on the back of it, so they were going to get that. But I forgot to tell everybody that. So I was just saying, you know, you got to bring these back right here. And people are, you know, they were threatening to boycott that Sunday. They figured if they weren't here, they wouldn't have to give them back. By the way, how many still have your dog tags? Yeah, we see them all the time around here. And by the way, for everybody that's here, we have a brand new dog tag that we've made up that everybody's going to get one of. So you'll be able to keep and carry that reminder with you. We'll be giving those out 2 weeks from now. So I really hope that you're going to be here with us for that. Now, there were some things that we had learned in that initiative and in the time following. So when we're preparing for this particular time, we have tried to add to the learnings that we took away from what it was that God was teaching us along the way. So here's what we want to do as we move into a brand new initiative that, again, which I've said will position us throughout next year, the years beyond, to experience God working in us, through us, in fresh ways, in greater ways than before. I would like you to add three words to what it is that we already have in front of us right here. In fact, if you'll take notes, these are the three words that we are going to rally around. We're going to find an incredible maxim, incredible truth from God in this. So on your handout, I'd just like you to write these three words: my next yes. You see, it's my next yes that we have learned is the dynamic, the doorway that God is inviting us to step through with Him. It's my next yes that is going to open up God's next working, that's going to take me where God wants me to go. It's going to be my next step in this experiencing God and the working that He wants in our lives. Now, I know, just having heard that, most of you are going like, oh, that makes total sense. But rather than just leaving it that as a great truth out there, I'd like to lay a little bit of a spiritual foundation for us with regards to the importance of this incredible truth. And one of the reasons for laying this foundation is because that's what we do here, isn't it? We always want to take it back and make sure that we have God's truth that we're going to be living our lives on. So, James chapter 2 tells us this about a man named Abraham. In James chapter 2, verse number 23, he says, "And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. And he was called," I want you to notice the words in yellow, "he was called the friend of God." Something all of us would strive to be able to have that tagged on us that way. Now, if you would look at Abraham's life in the Bible, one of the things that I find interesting is this, that God gives us more details about Abraham's life than he does about creation itself. If you're in a conversation with God today, and you were to say to God, "Hey, tell me about creation," God would say, "Okay, a lot of facts, kind of boring, not all that interesting, but he could, you know, kind of take you through it." But in the same conversation, God would say, "But if you want to talk about a good friend of mine, I'd love to engage you in that conversation." With the information God's given to us about Abraham, it's all for the purpose of being able to get to this position that he wants us to be. Hebrews chapter 11 is often referred to as the faith chapter of the Bible. It tells us what faith is, but then it goes through faith's hall of fame. Many, many, many people that demonstrate here's what faith is and here's what faith does. Now notice, Abraham, of course, is found in faith's hall of fame. In fact, Abraham could be called the father of faith, but that's not what he's known for. He's known as the friend of God rather than the father of faith. But the Bible says, by faith Abraham, when he was called to go out to a place he would later receive his inheritance, obeyed, said yes, and he went out even though he didn't know where he was going. Biblical faith is always going to have this nucleus to it. True faith always has this nucleus. It's a willingness to say yes to God. God, I trust you, even though I don't have all of the answers. What I understand you're asking me to do something, and my answer to you would be yes. That's what faith is. One of the insights as we look at Abraham's life that I want you to take away, and I think we're going to be building upon, is going to be this. That there were 10 big or great yeses that marked Abraham's journey with God. Now, he's called a friend up front. So it wasn't he had to go through all 10 and then he was called the friend of God. That happened early on. But 10 big yeses marked that journey. Now, here's the part that I find very noteworthy. But there would be at least 5,000 plus smaller yeses that made the journey what it was. Now, the number's approximate because the way we get there is we just took one small yes to God for every week of the rest of Abraham's life from where it gets picked up in the Bible. Genesis 11 through Genesis chapter 25. A small yes. In other words, God's saying to Abraham, you need to speak a word of encouragement here. He said yes. You need to ask these people over for dinner. He said yes. One of the things that we'll be tempted to do is to diminish or downplay a small ask of God in light of a big ask of God. And when we do that, mark it down, that's when we begin to miss out on what God wants to be doing in our lives. Jesus has a lot to say about this. If you have your Bible, let's take a look at Jesus' words to us with regards to the next yes truth or principle that we're going to be continuing to develop in our lives here over these next couple of weeks. If you didn't bring a Bible with you, grab a pew Bible. You can find this passage on page 1677. If you do have your Bible, keep a pen handy because I'm sure there's a couple notes you're going to want to jot down here. We're going to pick it up in verse 9. And Jesus says this, as the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Let's just pause for a second and go, you know, so few words, such an overwhelming thought. Just glance up at the communion table for just a second. As the Father has loved me, so I've loved you. How much did Jesus love us? I mean, how much did God love Jesus? And Jesus saying, you know, just as much as God loves me, I love you. Wow. He says, now remain in my love. In other words, I want you to stay connected to that love. I want it to be an active part of your life, an active force or dynamic in your life. He said, if you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love just as I kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. You can just put yes next to that verse if you'd like. He said, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This command is mine. Love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. Now you can put this, you are my friends if you will say yes. Now, at first glance, you go like, so is friendship with Jesus a conditional thing? In other words, I'll be your friend if you do what I want you to, right? I mean, and when you read it that way, you're going like, really? Well, Jesus already made it pretty clear. He is our friend. He has laid down his life. He has demonstrated his friendship to us in unmistakable ways. He's just saying the way that we show that, in fact, we are his friends, that we are in this connection with him, that we are trusting him. It's by responding yes to the clear asks that he would make of us in our lives. And if we will, he says this, if you will say yes to what it is I ask you, he said, we will grow in our love for God in deeper and greater ways. He said, you will experience God in deeper and greater ways. He talks about bearing fruit here. And he said, you will experience my joy in your life. It comes by your saying yes. It's not a condition in order to be my friend or for me to be your friend. It's a path that you're going to be able to experience what it is that I want for you in your life to do. With the new tags we gave out, we mentioned that we had put on the back of it what we refer to as God's heart. Now, the mission of Fox River is all tied back into God's heart, and so at times we'll call these, you know, Fox River's heart as well. If you're unfamiliar with this, these three hearts, the heart of God, begins with a God-shaped hole. It has that hole filled by what Jesus has done for us, and it goes on to this ongoing growth that God wants for us in our lives. In other words, God wants for each of us to have our God-shaped hole filled through what Jesus has done. That's not the end of it, but to continue to grow in our love for him and our love for others and experiences in his working in this life. That's his will for us. There are three dynamics that are in every single book in the New Testament that we kind of reattached to these hearts, and they seem to line up pretty well with them, which is why we put them here. Under the God-shaped hole, God's desire for us, he wants us to be a voice of what? Yeah, it's a voice of hope to those that are still in this place in their life. He said God wants us to be known by what? Yeah, known by love. In other words, Jesus was known by love, and this is a great demonstration of it. And then finally, he wants us to be living by what? Living by faith. And when we talk about living by faith, what we're saying is, living in the yes mode to God. Remember what faith is? It's my willingness to say yes to God. Living by faith, or here in this final heart, it's the reminder, it's my next yes that opens the door for what God wants to do in my life. A couple of responses I've gotten to a question I've been asking for several weeks now. Just in small groups I've been in, I've been saying, hey, tell me about the last time you remember saying yes to God. And at first it kind of, you know, takes a person back for a second, and then they think like, oh, okay. And some of them are big yeses and some were little yeses. But the significance in every one of those began to become more and more apparent as they just shared, you know, little pieces of their story that way. If you're in a group, let me encourage you. It's a great discussion question. Let's talk about the last time we remember saying yes to God in our lives. So a couple of them that I got back I just want to share real quickly with you. Kayla. Kayla said, last time I remember saying yes to God, and she kind of tied it back to the I will thing. She said, God, I'm willing to say yes to you. And she felt that God wanted her to reach out to her brother's child who happened to be in a juvenile retention facility. And so she wrote him a letter and said, you know, just wanted to have a word of encouragement to you, love you. And by the way, she said, I'm enclosing a Bible for you. Now, it wasn't an ordinary Bible, but it was a graphic novel. It was the Bible in pictures. Very, very well done. We've got him back at our table there. But she sent him that Bible and said, I hope this is encouragement to you. We'll talk again soon. She got a letter back from him about a week later and said, thanks for the Bible, reading it every day. And then he referenced a note that she'd had in her letter. What she'd said was this: and if anybody else wants one, just let me know. Well, he said then, and somebody else wants a Bible. So Kayla got on the phone, called him up and said, hey, I heard somebody else wants a Bible. You know, who wants one? I'll be happy to get it for you. And he said, well, my roommate wants one, but in the room next to us, they asked if they could have one too. And there's a couple other people that want them. She said, well, how many do we need to send? He said, right now about 20. So you know what she did? She said her next yes to God, sent 20 of these graphic Bibles, you know, graphic novel Bibles to them, and it became the regular reading material for them there. Now, question. Was the yes that Kayla was answering back to God, or I'll put the question this way, was the ask God was making of Kayla a big ask or a small ask? Small. Okay. Kathy's story, a little bit different. This is a work story. Kathy said, in an especially heavy time at work, she got an email from a coworker. Never gotten one before, and the coworker simply said, in the subject matter line was the word help. So Kathy said, I was intrigued, opened it up, and she was asking her, short to the point, she said, that she was overwhelmed with her work and was asking Kathy to jump in and do some of her work for her. How would you respond? Kathy's just kind of going like, I'm overwhelmed too. We've got so much that's coming in right here. But she said, it was almost as if I could hear God saying to me, help Glenda. So, Kathy said, the rest of that day, I just said, I will. He reminded me that everything I do is a reflection of him. So I stopped doing my work for the rest of that day and did hers, knowing I had to catch mine up later. Emailed her back. It said, you know, your workload is done. And that was it. She said, didn't expect much of a response. But Glenda immediately followed up the following day with this email. She said, it wasn't the fact that there was so much work to do there that had her overwhelmed, but it was what was going on in her home. Within the past 2 weeks, her brother-in-law had been in a terrible car accident, rendering him paralyzed from the chest down. Her mother was in the hospital ill and needing to likely be placed in home for care, and she, the mother, was the primary caregiver of her grandson, which would now fall upon the daughter. Emotionally, she was spending everything she had at home and had nothing left, but she knew she had to go on. The simple gesture of reaching out and helping her gave her the right amount of fuel that she needed to keep going down. And Kathy said, upon reading this, I just broke down in tears and thanked God for speaking to me that day. God's ask of Kathy, big or small? Let me see, big, small, one small. But what did God do? Mike's story, a little bit different. Mike was in a journey group here, men's group as a matter of fact. He said he loved his group, but his group leader got transferred. So that left the group without a group leader. They met early on Friday mornings, 6:15 in the morning. So you could see how many people were lining up for that job. So Mike actually came to me and he goes like, hey guy, you know, we got a great group here. We don't have a leader for it anymore. You know, can you get us a leader? I said, of course I can, Mike. Why don't you do it? First time I ever said anything like that to people either. Yeah, why don't you? And Mike laughed out loud. He said, I couldn't do it if I wanted to do it. He said, you remember when we went down to Nicaragua together? He'd been with us. You just asked us to pray with one person for 2 minutes that day, and I almost had a panic attack every single day. I couldn't eat breakfast knowing that on the bus I had to pray with somebody for 2 minutes that day, and I was afraid I was going to be thrown up there on the bus. So he just skipped that altogether. There is no way I could ever lead a group. And I'm like, oh, that's a good point, Mike. So I said, okay, you know, we'll just, you know, we'll keep looking and praying. Fast forward a few months, Mike was here at No Regrets. In the No Regrets men's conference we do, finished up, on the way out, Mike caught me. We just kind of crossed in the path there. He walked up and he said, guy, I think God wants me to lead the group. I go, Mike, what are you going to do? He said, I don't know, but I think I need to say yes. And I said, well, give it a try. See how that's going. One of the healthiest, and we've got a lot of healthy ones, but one of the healthiest men's groups we've got to meet 6:15 every Friday morning. Can you guess whose group it is? Mike's group. Group continues to grow. Ministers and men that are in there. It's fantastic what God's doing. The ask that God had of Mike, lead a group. How many think that's a big ask? Maybe for Mike, right? Small. I mean, in the scope of things that God might ask you, right? And we could talk about several couples right now. I'll just highlight real quickly Robert and Amy, who, upon saying yes to God and I will, now have adopted Grace as their child. Again, a number of others have done, you know, similar things. This following this ask of God. Adopting a child. Big or small ask? I'm going to go big. Yeah, I'm going small. You see, size, each one of them is a new open doorway. But I want you to remember this. The life of faith, the life of yes, is an adventure. Now, for those of you who are like me, men that are like me, we live for adventure. Now, ladies, you know, it's like adventure, very, very important. One of the things about adventure is this. You never know what's going to happen. You never know what you're going to discover. So it is with your next yes to God. Now, got a big caution here. It's almost the alternative if we don't. So my warning is we have to be very careful, always, to not be seduced by the past. Here's what I mean by that. If we were to think about our church, Fox River, about 13 years been in existence, and we look at where we were 13 years ago when we began and where we are now, and you go like, God has done incredible things. Would you agree? For sure, God's done incredible things. And we could look back and we could say, when we were in a little teeny auditorium, or when we were in the gym, or, you know, these things in the past, big things that God has done for us. We go like, isn't God good? Now, if we begin saying, isn't God good because of what he's done? Isn't God great? And all we do is we live in our past about what God has done. Are the greatest workings of God in our past or yet to be discovered, yet to be experienced? Are they past or are they yet to be? Tell me what you think. If you think it's in the past, then it's kind of like just settle in and coast. But if, in fact, the things God did are just markers, they're reminders of who he is, how important the next yes is going to be, because that's what got us to each of those steps along the way, you're going to join me in saying, you know what, the greatest thing God has for us is still to come. I know a lot of people here, you've got some really cool stories. God's done some good, good things for you in your past. But if you're spending all your time looking in the past about what God has done, about thinking about what God used to do in your life, rather than anticipating what God is going to do in your future, well, you can imagine what trajectory your spiritual growth is going to be going. And is there any reason that God wouldn't want to continue the good work like he said he was going to do in the Bible in your life? You know the doorway for God's next working in your life? Take a wild guess. It's your next what? Yeah, it's your next yes there. In fact, let me put up this maxim for all of us right now, and I'll just make two comments about it. The great truth is it is the next yes that God will use to do his next work through. Now, I want you just to read it with me. I want you to change it. I don't want you to say it's the next yes, but I want you to say it's my next yes. Ready? It is my next yes God will use to do his next work through. One more time. It is my next yes that God will use to do his next work through. Here's two things I want you to remember about this. If we are not moving ahead, if we are not saying yes to God, in essence, what are we saying to God? Yeah. If he says, this is my ask, and you go like, oh, I don't think so, you just ignore it, you can see where that's going. The trajectory of yes continues to move you ahead or forward, hence the arrow that we put on the new dog tag that way. If we're not saying yes, what direction are we moving relationally with God? It's either backwards, or you could say we just stagnate. And the word stagnate bothers me. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be a scummy Christian. You know, that pond, you know, just like, that's disgusting. But to think that's the description of our soul, but it'll happen without that next yes that's there. The other thing is this. When God asks you something, when God asks you to say yes to him, is yes always an easy thing to say to God? I can guarantee you that there are sometimes saying yes is hard. In fact, we're going to spend a whole week on just talking about when it's hard to say yes to God. We also want to spend a week together about this. What's it like to hear God? How does God speak into our lives today? So we got some very, very exciting things ahead. Here's what I hope you'll do this week. Would you pick up with me the I will prayer? Each day, just start your day. Father, I will say yes to you, whatever you ask of me. Jesus, I will follow you. Holy Spirit, I'll follow your promptings. And then just, when God, if God asks, follow through with yes to him. If you haven't received Jesus as your Savior yet, well, today's a great time to say yes to him, because you can begin to see. It's that line that you cross, that doorway that you go through, coming to him, yes, for forgiveness, but yes, for help and leadership and working in your life. That's what he extends to you. So I'd like to pray for us in whatever that yes may be, because some of us know right now what it is, and it scares us. But to say yes. And after prayer, to come to the Lord's Supper with the context that Jesus has given it to us in. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, that you would continue to speak into our lives. Wow. But it's what we all long for, because none of us wants a stale academic Christianity, but that which is real and alive. And hence, again, the importance of yes to you. For those that know right now what you're asking them, but they're struggling, I pray for the extra grace they need to be able to say yes to you today. for all of us here, Father, to be willing to take up this I will prayer in our lives for this month, not knowing where all it's going to take us, but just in anticipation, there is a true adventure ahead. And for each of our friends here, haven't yet received Jesus, but they're ready to open their life to you right now, Lord Jesus. They'd say, I believe you died on the cross for me. I want your forgiveness. I need your forgiveness. And I want even more relationship with you, relationship with God that's real and living. My soul thirsts for it. Fill this God-shaped hole in me, Jesus, please. If that's your prayer, just tell him. We ask this in your name, Lord. Amen.